The Sedra begins in the Chukosai Telechu, the Es Mitzvosai Tishmeru V'Asisem Osam. The Torah says that if you keep the Torah with a tremendous amount of effort, and you put a tremendous amount of investment in it, V'Amelus V'Torah. Basically, it's talking about Torah learning, that a person learns Torah with a tremendous amount of effort and invests his entire concentration and strength into it, then the Torah promises tremendous reward and brachas, the most ideal circumstances that could be, which really describe what will be when Mashiach comes. And then the Torah says the opposite. And if you don't put effort into Torah, even if you observe the Torah and you learn Torah, but you don't do it with effort and toil and a tremendous amount of investment, concentration and stamina, then it says you'll fall down seven levels until you become a kofer be'ikr, you'll deny God. The seven levels are, if you don't put in effort, you'll go down to the first level, you won't learn. And after you won't learn, you won't do the mitzvahs properly. And then you will be disgusted with people who do keep the mitzvahs. And then you'll hate the rabbis. And then you will try to dissuade people from keeping mitzvahs. And then you will deny the validity of the mitzvahs. And finally, you'll deny God. Now, that all needs to be explained. Why is that the case? What is so important about putting in effort in observing and learning the Torah, and with that effort, all these good things will ensue, and without the effort, terrible results will come. Similarly, we find in Parshas Kisavo a different condition. Here the condition for having all the good in Eretz Yisrael is effort, toil, and that which will bring to Golus, and the opposite kind of conditions is serving God without effort and toil. And in Kisavo it says a different condition. Because you didn't serve God with joy. If you serve Him with joy, then you'll have all these tremendous benefits. And if you don't serve Him with joy, serve Him, but not with joy, then in the end is going to be terrible, the opposite, the antithesis of all of this. Why? Well, how do you understand that? I want to explain it in the following way. Tosh says that the main point of why the tochacha, the rebuke, all the terrible things that will happen to the Jewish people in Galus happen, is because v'halachtem imi keri. And Rashi says that, what does it mean, v'halachtem imi keri? Ba'akroi. You keep the Torah, but in a very peripheral way. It's not your main concentration. It's not something you do with tremendous effort and concentration. It's mitzvah sanoshim alumada. You do it just, you know, lackadaisically, externally. There's no inner thought, inner holiness to it. It's all just a bunch of peripheral, external things. And therefore, it doesn't connect you to me, Rashi says. You remain disconnected from God. See the Rashi? Rashi says, carry, let's find it. Yibtelchu imi carry. Rabosenu amru arai. Not on a consistent, constant basis, but the temporary. Mikra. By chance. Yeah, if I do it, I do it. I don't do it, I don't do it. She'enu elo leprokin. Telchu, kein telchu arai the mitzvah. Something that's temporary, that's, you know, by chance. You don't do it, what's it called, consistently and constantly. Umenachem Pirish, another pshat, is Lashem Minia, meaning that you will harden your heart and not get close to me. You see, the two things really go together. The idea being that there's a way of keeping the Torah where it connects you to God, and there's a way of keeping the Torah that doesn't connect you to God at all. It's just a bunch of things that you do, and they have no inner meaning to them, and they're not really, you just do them, you know, mitzvah sanoshim alumada, by habit, by rote, and they're not something that connects you. You don't get connected to the Torah and to the mitzvahs, and then you don't get connected to God. It's just something you do by chance, not consistent. Now, what gives a person that connection? Two things. When it comes to learning Torah, it's how much effort you put in. How much you expend your energy and toil and concentration on what you're doing, and that makes the Torah yours. Because that which a person puts effort into, it's precious to him. It connects into it. And since Torah is God's mind, Torah is God's will, so by connecting yourself to the Torah, a complete connection, you're connecting yourself to God. And that's what it says, that the Torah can be kept right-handed or left-handed. Lemaiminim ba, the people who are the right, on the right side of Torah, so they learn the Torah as if a person does it with his right hand, a righty, with his full strength. They invest everything into that learning. And Mamela, they do it lahavin soda, to know its secret. There's no secrets in the Torah. The secret is that it connects you to God. You find the inner value, the inner kernel of holiness and godliness that's in the Torah. But if you don't approach the Torah like a person working with his right hand, but like a left hand, lackadaisically, you know, just by rote, by chance, not consistent, not constant, not something you put your effort into, then you won't find that inner holiness, and the Torah will be just an external thing, and it won't connect you to God. And that's what it says in the Gemara, that you'll see the difference between a person who serves God and somebody who doesn't serve Him. The Gemara says that what's the difference between a person who serves God and a person who doesn't serve Him? What does that mean? It says that there's no comparison of a person who learns something 100 times and a person who learns it 101 times. The simple meaning is that that extra one time, that extra little bit of effort makes all the difference. But some say that it means something different. There's no comparison of a person who learns something 100 times, meyapamim, or if he learns it 100 times plus one, meaning with the one, with God. You can learn something 100 times, but somehow you're not learning it with God. He's not there. You're just learning it, and it happens to be something you do. But if you learn it 100 times with one, meaning you really put your effort in it and connect into it, then you're connecting it to God. So you're learning together with the Rabbanu Shalom. The one who doesn't connect into God with the learning is not serving God. And the one who connects into God with his learning is serving God. And that's why it refers to this putting the effort and doing it consistently and constantly and not in a lackadaisical, rote, habitual way, but really connecting into it and connecting into God through it is called the chukosai telechu. You walk within my chok. Chok means as framework. If your entire life is walking within my framework, everything you do, you're in my framework. You know that you're in my domain. You're connecting into me. You're in that box. You're in God's box. Then you get all these rewards. You see one second why. And that's what it means. Bechukosai teilechu. Hatsnei aleches. You're supposed to walk with God. That everything you do, you feel a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're in God's box. Everything you do, everything is within that same box together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if not, right, then it's in lo sishmu uli. You don't hear me in the Torah. You hear the Torah, but you don't hear me, right? And then what's it called? You disassociate yourself. You're separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why, what is the reward for walking with God, walking within the box with God all the time, that your Torah connects you to God, that God says, V'hissalachti b'sofachem, then I'll walk with you. You know, I'll be constantly around you. I'll be connected to you. You connect into me, I'll connect in with you. And that's what it's like in Gan Eden. We have a constant awareness of God's presence. So if you make this world into a Gan Eden, and v'chukosai teilechu, you walk within the box, within the mizgeret, within the framework that God gave, which is Torah and mitzvahs, and you walk with God with those Torah and mitzvahs, then God will walk with you. If not, you're separating yourself from God. You're keeping mitzvahs, but it's all habit, it's all rote, and there's no connection to God from it. And therefore, the more a person separates himself from God, even though he keeps the Torah, even though he learns the Torah, but he's not connecting into God, the more he drifts away. So it starts by not learning. If you don't want to connect into God, you won't learn. Right? If you don't feel that you're connecting to God, then why learn? There's other things in this life to do. If you don't learn, you won't keep mitzvahs, which is a further distancing from God. And then you'll be disgusted with people who keep mitzvahs, meaning if you're really connected into God, then the people who are God's people, you're connected to them too. But if you're not connected into God, then people who are connected, you're not connected with them either. So you're put off by them. You don't feel the closest to them. You don't feel a connection, right? You're disgusted with them because they represent something that you're not part of. And the mela, you end up hating the rabbis. Hate means you feel distance from them. Love means a connection. Hatred is a distance. You'll feel distance from the rabbis who represent God, who represent the Torah. And then you'll try to keep other people from keeping the Torah because if you're distant, you want other people to be distant. And then you will deny the mitzvahs altogether. You'll separate the mitzvahs from God. And then you'll ultimately separate yourself completely. It's all a process of separation from God. If you keep the Torah in a way that is not God-oriented, but just action-oriented, you're just doing a bunch of things. But you don't see the connection between the learning in God and between the mitzvahs in God, eventually going to drift away until you drift away completely. Just a matter of time. That's the idea. And the opposite is true. And that's why simcha also has that. In other words, when it comes to learning, the thing that connects you to the learning and the mela connects you to God through the learning is effort. When it comes to mitzvahs, the thing that connects you to the mitzvah is simcha. You connect to the mitzvah, and through the simcha and doing the mitzvah, I'm ecstatic. I'm joyful in doing God's will. If the mitzvah is just a thing to do, there's no joy in it. It just has something I have to do. It's a yoke. But if the mitzvah connects me to God, right? Then first of all, I'm tremendously ecstatic that I can have that connection. And secondly, it's because I'm joyful and happy that creates a connection, because God's presence doesn't rest unless there's simcha. So it works both ways. The simcha is because I feel God's presence in the mitzvah, and the simcha leads to God's presence in the mitzvah. So it works on both sides. Because if I'm doing the... So it comes out that when it comes to learning Torah, that which, it's both the same thing, that which connects me to godliness through the Torah is effort. When it comes to keeping mitzvahs, that which connects me to the godliness of the mitzvah is simcha. Because I feel I'm not just doing something, but I'm connecting to God. What could be the greater simcha? I'm having that closeness to God. Closeness to God is the greatest simcha, the greatest pleasure a person can have. That's the purpose of creation, that God wanted to shower that pleasure on us of his closeness. So if you feel by doing the mitzvah of the mitzvah, doing the command of the commander, you're getting closer to the commander, that's the greatest pleasure that could be. And by having that pleasure, you connect yourself into the mitzvah. So it works, again, on both ways. And that's why, if you don't put in effort in Torah learning, and you don't have that simcha, then what happens? You get disassociated, disconnected from God. What is that called? Golus. Gullus means that you distance yourself from God. And you distance yourself from God's place, Eretz Yisrael, and you distance yourself from the Beis HaMikdash. All those things are connections to God, and those connections are broken. Why do they come? Because you broke the connection, because you didn't put effort into the learning, so your learning was disassociated from God, and your mitzvahs were disassociated. And once that exists, then it's only a matter of time until it's manifested physically, and you are distanced from God, from the place where God's presence is, the Beis HaMikdash, and then Eretz Yisrael, and so on. And that's why also, when you don't keep the Torah properly, then not only do you go into Galus, but it says that the tzaddikim, chachomim, are taken away from you. Because the Michtam Eliyahu says, sometimes having great chachomim is a negative if the people use it the wrong way. Because then they rely on the chachomim too much, and they don't think into the mitzvahs themselves, and they just do it by rote. And they let the chachomim think for them. So if the chachomim are taken away, you're going to be forced to think, and to put effort, and to connect into God through the mitzvahs and through the Torah, and that will correct the situation. And that's why it says that they went into Galus, of the Haaretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why did they go into Galus? So it says, because they forsook my Torah. Not they forsook the Torah, but of Zomis Torah, see, the Torah wasn't mine anymore. It just was the Torah. They learned, they kept mitzvahs, but it wasn't connected to me. It was just things they did. Okay? And the rabbis say, what created that? They didn't make a bracha before they learned. They learned. What was the bracha? What does the bracha do? First of all, the bracha connects the learning with God. You see that it's God who gave us Asher Kedishon, and the bracha defines how you have to learn. Lasok b'divrei. You have to put effort into it. And it has to be pleasant and joyful. V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu. So the bracha itself both connects the learning to God. You make a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem. You commanded us to learn Torah. The Torah and you are connected. And the way to do that is lasok b'divrei Torah, to put effort into Torah, and v'harevna, and to feel joy in the Torah. So the bracha puts into perspective that when you learn in a way that you associate with God, that you connect into God. They didn't make that bracha. So they learned, but they didn't learn in a way that connected them to God. And therefore the learning was only an external thing that didn't connect them into God, and the mela led to greater and greater disassociation and separation from God, which ultimately was galus. And therefore, could be that there's two orientations to mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah orientation, there's a God orientation. In other words, my whole Yiddishkeit is doing a bunch of things, which is better than nothing. But that's not what it's all about. It's not just doing a bunch of things. It's doing those things because in that way you're serving God, you're getting closer to Him. It's not just learning a bunch of facts, but through that learning, I become one with the one whose will and mind is represented by that Torah, by that learning. Right? So there's a way of getting closer to God through Torah and mitzvahs. That's the orientation. And then there's an idea of learning information, doing things, and that's the orientation. The difference between them is the following, aside from the tremendous difference in what it leads to. But how about reward? We know that schar mitzvah b'hayal malecha. You don't get rewarded for mitzvahs in this world. So if that's the case, what's this whole parsha? If you'll keep the mitzvahs with effort or whatever, then I promise you all these great things. Isn't that reward? Are we getting reward in this world? So I was thinking, there's no reward for mitzvahs as mitzvahs. You can't be rewarded for what you did, a mitzvah, in this world. That's for the next world. But if you keep the mitzvahs in a God-oriented way, then this is not the reward for the mitzvahs. This is the natural result of getting closer to God. If you get closer to God, I'll be close to you. And then everything will be hunky-dory, because when you're close to God, everything's fine. So it's not describing reward that you're getting. It's describing the situation, the circumstances that will exist when you connect into God. If you connect into God, this is the way the world's going to look. You're not getting rewarded for the things you did. That you'll get rewarded in the future. But you're creating an atmosphere, an environment of God attachment. And this is the way the world looks when you're attached to God. So it's true. There is no reward for it. So if you do the mitzvahs as a bunch of mitzvahs, so then what's it called? You won't get rewarded until the next world. But if you do them to get yourself closer to God, and you attach yourself to God, then the automatic result will be that there'll be a tremendous environment of closeness to God. That's not reward for mitzvahs. That is the result of attaching yourself to God and godliness. There's another difference. The difference is, if you're mitzvah-oriented, then there are more important mitzvahs and less important mitzvahs, and you can choose and pick and choose which ones you do or whatever. But if your idea is to get closer to God, then there's no more important, less important. All these mitzvahs are ways of getting closer to God. Make a difference if it's an important mitzvah or less. They're all God's will. That's why later on in the Torah it says, V'hoya eikev tishma'un. If you will even listen to the mitzvahs that people normally trample underfoot, because they're not important. That's if you're mitzvah-oriented. But if you're God-oriented, there are no mitzvahs that are lighter or more important. It's all way of getting closer to God. Then I'll give you all this reward, because it's not reward anymore. Then it's a natural result of getting closer to me. If you will keep the Torah in such a way that you're not approaching it mitzvah by mitzvah, so then there could be a difference in this mitzvah, that mitzvah, more important, more weighty, less weighty. But you're approaching it from a God orientation. I want to get closer to the Rebbe. And the way to do that is through doing mitzvahs. Then there's no more important, less important. Every mitzvah gives me a connection to God. It's all the same. So if you'll do the Torah in a way, the Torah says, that you won't differentiate between important, less important, but you'll do it in a way that attaches you to God, that's your orientation, then all these good things will happen, not as reward, as a natural result of getting closer to God. Same thing as in this week's study. And that is partially what Sfiras HaOmer is, right? The whole idea of Sfiras HaOmer, we have to receive the Torah. But again, you can receive the Torah from a knowledge mitzvah orientation or from connecting into God. How do you prepare that your orientation of receiving the Torah should be a connection to God and not just merely a bunch of things that you do and learn? So that's why Sfiras HaOmer, why God gave us Sfiras HaOmer. Preparation. If you prepare, then you're putting in effort. Preparation is part of the effort that you put in to be able to do it in a way that's more thought out, that's more consistent and constant, and not just the mikra, not just haphazard, happenstance sometimes. And also, the fact that you count the days anxiously shows that you have simcha and joy, and you're anticipating getting the Torah, so it adds that dimension too. We said the two things that connect you in through Torah and mitzvahs to God is happiness in doing it and effort. Both of those things are represented by the preparation that Sfiras HaOmer represents and the aspiration and anticipation of the Torah, which represents the joy of getting the Torah. And then receiving the Torah will become an action of connecting you to God, not just connecting you to a bunch of things to do and things to learn. And that's why it's connected to the Omer. What was the Omer? The Omer is that your physical existence in this world has to be connected to God. You can't just eat the new crop without bringing a sacrifice first. Because lo al alechem levado yichya, a person doesn't live by the external physical food itself, but in every physical thing is an inner spiritual spark of godliness that really keeps the person going. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem, from what God takes from his mouth, the words of God, that's what a person lives on. So if you only have an external view of the world, then you have an external view of Torah and mitzvahs too, and it's just an external body of things to do. But if you understand that in every external thing, there's an inner soul, that inner secret, that's godliness, and therefore everything, every physical thing that you eat, it's not just the physical thing that keeps you going, it's the godliness in it, then that teaches you that Torah also has an external part, but has an internal godliness to it, and it gives you the understanding that just like when it comes to the physical world, you have to connect into the godliness in it to be able to really understand what's going on. When it comes to the spiritual world, the same thing. You have to connect into the godliness in it, not just the externals of the mitzvahs and the Torah. That's what we count, La Omer, right? From the Omer, to the Omer, in the Omer, because the Omer teaches me this idea. And there's another idea in Mikra, in Keri, right? The Rambam says that the idea in Keri is that you don't realize that things happen because God is behind them. What? That when you walk with me, the Keri means, well, we said that that you do it lackadaisically or whatever, but the Rambam says it means that you think that the things that happen in the world are just Mikra. They're just coincidence. You don't see God's hand. But it's the same thing. The more you disassociate yourself from God, and you don't have a connection with God, then you think that the things that happen in the world are also disassociated with God. And you see the world in a disassociated way. You deal in a disassociated way with God, and you see the world disassociated with God. So when things happen in the world, you take them as coincidence, as happenstance. You don't see that it's God's hand that's trying to tell you something. So when you suffer and things happen in the world that are negative, you don't take the lesson that it's happening because something's wrong, but it's just a coincidence. Because you don't see God's connection to the world because you disassociate yourself from God's connection to you. So it all fits together. It's all part of the same problem. You do mitzvahs, you learn Torah, but you don't do it in a way that connects you to God. And then, little by little, you get more and more distance from God, those seven levels, and you see the world distance from God. You can't really see God's hand in the world. You only take things as coincidence. You don't take the message that God's trying to give you. When things go wrong in the world, there's a reason for it. You're supposed to wake up. You don't take it as a wake-up call. And the more you drift away, the more things get really bad off. And the closer you get to God, it's not that you're getting rewarded for your mitzvahs, but the closer you get to God, the more the environment becomes a very, very positive and an ideal environment, because that's what closeness to God brings about. When you bring God into the world, then the world becomes a godly place. When you take God out of the world, the world becomes a very ungodly place. So all the, what it seems to be the reward here is not reward. Reward for mitzvah is not in this world. That's for the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah brings you closer to God, then the environment becomes a godly environment, and the godly environment is represented by the most ideal kinds of things. So you're not getting rewarded for your mitzvah. It's just a natural result of closeness to God in this world. That's the idea. So if we understand that, and we use this parasha as a incentive to prepare even more for our yearly Kabbalah Satorah, and we do it in a way that we're willing to put in effort and to see God in the Torah, not just to have Torah as an external thing, and to see God in the mitzvahs that we're doing and attach ourselves to Him, have a God-oriented Kabbalah Satorah, not just a mitzvah-oriented, which again is better that than nothing. But that's not the ideal. If you get to the ideal, then the world is completely a different place, and we'll be zocheh that the Rebbeinu, if we walk with Him, that He'll walk with us, and He'll give us a Beis HaMikdash, and He'll make the situation like it was in Gan Eden with when Mashiach comes. Any questions? Yes.
You said that we learned that the Torah, because everything has a physical aspect and a internal, like godly right. aspect, that the Torah too has a physical and an internal.
Right, there's an external aspect to it, and then there's.
The Torah itself, can the Torah be a physical?
Yeah, you can do. People can do mitzvahs just as external things.
But the
right.
Torah itself.
Oh no, the Torah means from our perspective.
Oh, from our.
Right, because food also can't have anything without coming inside a spiritual insight, but you can approach it just as an external thing. Yeah.
The effort connects you to the
Learning of Torah with effort connects you to the Torah, and doing mitzvahs with simcha connects you to the mitzvahs. What? And no, and that since the mitzvah is God's command, if you're connected to it, you're not just doing it, then you're connected to God. Since the Torah is God's will, if you're really connected to the Torah, then you're connected to God too. But if you're not connected to it, you're just doing it, you're just learning it, you're just performing it, then that doesn't necessarily connect you to God, just a bunch of things that you're doing. That's called mitzvah anoshim lumada. It's habit, rote, but you're not really connected into it. That's the. But the simcha and the omel connect you into it. If it connects you, it connects you to God, who is behind it. So, men are more the effort of learning Torah. Women are more the simcha of observing the Torah. Women have that extra verve when they do mitzvahs, because that's their, what a man puts effort into learning, a woman puts simcha into mitzvahs. However, both of them have the other thing too. Men can also put simcha into mitzvahs, and women can put their effort into learning, not their own learning, but they're willing to expend effort into their husband or children's learning, right, or into the learning of other people, of Klal Yisrael, and because of that, their effort may not be the learning itself, but it connects them to God, because they're connecting in through the learned Torah learning that's going on in Klal Yisrael. So a woman can have the effort in learning too, but in a little bit different way, and a man can have the simcha in mitzvahs too, but the main thing for a man is the effort in learning Torah, and the main thing for a woman is the simcha in observing the Torah.